Well, hello again. Thank you for joining in today. We're going to have a good study in our study of sanctification again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. We're in our fourth letter S in the ABCs of Christian Growth entitled Sanctification. And we've been over quite a bit and studied quite a bit also in the Holy Scriptures concerning it. We've talked about sanctification of the Lord and sanctification of man so far, and just begin our study in the sanctification of man. But when we were talking about sanctification of the Lord, we went over four different descriptions, if you remember, concerning sanctification of the Lord and what the Bible is talking about, what God's Word is talking about, and what God the Holy Ghost wants us to know and to believe concerning sanctification of the Lord. Has nothing to do with him being cleaned up anymore. The Lord doesn't need to be cleaned up at all. The Lord is pure. He is holy. He is righteous altogether, the Bible says. It's man, the one that needs to be sanctified in that definition. And that's what we're going into today, is more of our study of the sanctification of man. We just began it on our last class that we had together. And just to recap a little bit on that one verse, I like to recite that verse every time we come together on this study, because it is it's a good fundamental, rooted, foundational verse concerning sanctification of man and sanctification in the Scriptures and what the Lord's talking about when Paul brought it up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. You remember it. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's God's will. That's God's will concerning us. He just said that. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That's God's will. I pray your whole spirit, your whole body, your whole soul, your whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is God's will for us right now in this dispensation, as since the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection, him going back to glory, sitting at the right hand of the Father, standing in for us and advocating for us before the Father, and waiting on the Father to tell him to come and get us. And that's what we're waiting on. The very next thing that we're waiting on is for the Lord Jesus Christ to come and get us and let us be with him forever. That's what we're waiting for. There's nothing else to be fulfilled. And then starts, of course, the tribulation time, and the Scriptures move on into what they've told us about already, but we'll talk about that some other time. But sanctification right now is God's will for the child of God and the bride of Christ and the church. Not all this flippant foolishness that's going on in the apostate church that's going on now, and all these churches moving away from the Word of God and corrupting the Word of God and saying things that they should, that they ought not say, and teaching things that they ought not teach. They ought to be sticking to the Word of God, just like we're doing, staying right with God's Word and what God's Word says, and studying God's Word, and believing it, and living by it. It is God's Word that sanctifies man. It is not, and we're going to get into that some more today, of how sanctification comes about, but it is not this corrupt mess and this confused garbage that's in the world now that preachers and teachers of the Word of God, so-called, are confusing everything. God is not the author of confusion. If it's God's words, they're not confusing. There's not been anything confusing in anything we've been studying so far. If we don't have the answer, we just say, we don't know, and we move on. We don't start saying that God has made a mistake or that God has done something wrong or said something wrong or something like that. Who in the world would think that they had the authority to say that God has said something wrong or written something wrong or put something down wrong or translated something blobbity blobbity blobbity? Blah, blah, blah. Don't get involved in that nonsense. That's what it is. It's nonsense. And the church, any church that has anything to do with that mess or is involved in that kind of nonsense ought to be ashamed and ought to repent and get out of it and get back to God's Word and preaching and teaching God's Word. Your will, God's will for you is exactly what we're doing right now, studying God's Word and allowing God's Word to work in and through you in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. And we're going to find out how that comes about more as we go through our study. Sanctification of man is what we're talking about today. Now, what have we learned so far? We went over that, but I want to go over that again before we begin today's study. What have we learned so far throughout this study? Well, when having to do with the Lord, sanctification is a very serious matter to the Lord, even though He Himself does not require any cleaning up whatsoever. The Lord is holy and perfect in every way and remains that way and will remain that way. God Himself will not be corrupted. Himself. He cannot be corrupted. He stands on His holiness. He does not and will not compromise His holiness for anyone or anything. God will not compromise His holiness to keep you out of hell. Not one bit. He didn't compromise it when He came down here and became flesh. And was born in the flesh, God in the flesh, and was born and named Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never compromised holiness, not one time. Not one time. He was separate from sinners. Nor will He allow anyone or anything to improperly breach or disregard His sanctity. Things and creatures must be sanctified in His presence. When His holiness and integrity are trespassed, His perfect justice both requires and is swift to avenge. We found that out with Aaron's boys. Remember that? That was pretty swift. They'd done it the wrong way. They'd done it on purpose, and they didn't care what God thought about the matter. And they breached His sanctity, and fire came out from Him and burned them to a crisp. And if you don't think that same God can do that right this very second, you're out of your mind. God can and will sanctify Himself, and He said out of His own mouth, He will be sanctified before the people. And that includes you and me. The only thing that's changed is Jesus Christ being in between us and the Lord now. You get away with a whole bunch more because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't really get away with it because now we have a Heavenly Father that will tear your hind end up. And He knows exactly where to hit you. The Lord's mercy and compassion make provisions and preparations and warnings are always put out concerning how dangerous it is to be passive concerning Him. He is God. He must be sanctified before all. We didn't even realize that we thought sanctification meant quit smoking and quit lying and quit drinking. Well, it does, but didn't realize that sanctification was such a serious matter to God, have we? But we do now. It is a very serious matter when it has to do with sanctification of the Lord. What else we learn? Well, when having to do with man, sanctification works differently than the Lord. Man has three parts, spirit, soul, and body. All three have to be sanctified before they can be in God's presence. Now listen to this carefully. When a man is born of a woman, his spirit is dead. His soul is lost and under the wrath of God because of his Adamic nature. He's sinful. His body is sinful and also condemned back to the dust where it goes eventually when it dies, which 100%, that has happened 100% fully, with exception of God's intervention, like, for instance, with Enoch and Moses or Elijah and men like that, that God had to do with them not dying. But we'll get into that some other time. But it's appointed unto every man to die, the Bible says, and every man does die unless God intervenes. You see that? All right, now, his body is sinful and also condemned back to the dust where it goes eventually when it dies, and all three must be sanctified. All three what? Well, man's spirit, man's soul, and man's body has to be sanctified. That's what Paul said, that your whole spirit, body, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Your whole, all of you, every bit of you. And that's the way it's got to be before you can be with the Lord. All right, so what's happened so far? Man's spirit is sanctified, just breaking these down. Man's spirit is sanctified when it is regenerated at his new birth, when he believes and trusts in Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. His spirit is quickened and made alive. God the Holy Ghost enters a man at his new birth and indwells him. So man's spirit is awakened. It's not dead anymore. When you believe on Jesus Christ and ask him to be your Savior, and God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The very first thing that happens is your spirit is quickened again. It's made alive again. And it's quickened unto the Lord, quickened unto God. All right? Regenerated, the Bible calls it. Okay, all right, so that's with the spirit. So man's spirit is made alive. His spirit is back, and it is saved, it is sanctified, and it can communicate and have communion with the Lord now, your spirit. All right, man's soul is sanctified when he's born again and attached to his spirit and set apart or sanctified into God's family, eternally saved. Something happens within you. The Lord's surgery, if you will, spiritual surgery on you. He cuts your soul away from your body. It's called spiritual circumcision, away from your body, and it is attached to your saved, regenerated spirit now. You see that? It's no longer part of your body. It's in there. You're in there. But it's not attached to it like it was before. I know this sounds odd, but this is Scripture. This is what the Bible teaches. Man's soul is sanctified when he is born again and attached to his spirit and set apart or sanctified into God's family, eternally saved. So your soul cannot be lost anymore. It can't be reattached to your body. That's why your body's going back to the dirt. Your soul doesn't go to the dirt, ever. You don't ever go in the grave. No Christians ever goes in the grave, ever. As far as God is concerned, the saved soul and spirit are righteous before him because of Christ's righteousness that has been placed on him, which is called imputation, which happened also at your salvation. At a man's new birth, his soul is cut away from his body. That's called spiritual circumcision. And you can find that in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 through 14. Even though he still resides in that body until death or the rapture. His soul is no longer attached to his body. His soul is saved and sanctified and in Christ and on its way to heaven. Now, man's body, you're still carrying that thing around. You're still inside of it. Unless you die or unless the Lord comes and he changes that body and fashions it like unto his glorious body, and that mortal puts on immortality, and your body is no more a mortal, sinful, wicked, evil body. It is sanctified, but not yet. Man's body is not saved or sanctified. That includes yours. If you're dwelling in your body and you're living in this, you're listening to this right now, and you're saved, your spirit and soul are attached to one another, you're in that body, but you're not fastened to that body. You're in it. And you are saved, and you are on your way to glory, and as far as God is concerned, you are righteous before Him because Christ's righteousness is upon your soul and upon your spirit. You've been awakened and regenerated. And you know the things of God, and you can commune with God now, but your body is still not saved. Man's body is not saved or sanctified. It is wicked to the core. It is considered by God to be dead in trespasses and sins, and is headed back to the dust. Now, this is where a lot of Christians and religions and everybody else get messed up when they're talking about salvation. They keep that body attached to the soul and attached to the spirit, and they don't rightly divide the word of truth and figure the thing out the way the Bible describes it. Salvation is indeed complete when the Lord comes and finishes up sanctifying that body. But until then, only part of you is completely saved. You see, we can understand that because we've been quickened and regenerated, and the Word of God is not confusing one bit. But as far as that body, you say, well, how can you be a sinner and be saved at the same time? Well, that's what we're talking about. Depends on what part of you you're talking about, right? You see how you have to rightly divide that thing? Not wrongly divide it. You have to rightly divide it. Take all of God's Word and put it in context and bring that thing together and see what the Bible's teaching us. Now, it's your body's wicked to the core, and it is considered by God to be dead in trespasses and sins and headed back to the dust. Not to hell. To the dust. Did you get that? No Christian's body that is in the grave, sleeping, that's the way the Bible talks about it and refers to a Christian's body, that is sleeping right now, goes into hell ever. Ever. The Lord's going to come back, and if you're wearing that body, it's going to be changed while you're in it. If you're not wearing it and you're with the Lord, you're going to come back with the Lord, and the Lord's going to bring that body out of the grave, change it, and put it back on you. You see that? Now, man still has to live in the body until either it dies, the body, or he departs from it. Either he dies, the body dies, and he departs from it, or Jesus shows up at the rapture to get the church, and at that time, it, your body, will be changed into a sanctified body, fashioned like unto the Lord's body, perfect in every way. Excuse me. Now, doesn't all that make perfect sense? You know why? Because it's God's Word, and we're not manipulating it. We're just reading it. It's very understandable, very simple, and very, and I'm glad it is the way it is. It makes perfect sense, and I'm glad the Lord is so smart that He can work things out like that, aren't you? Man keeps trying to do stuff like God, and he just messes everything up, doesn't he? Now, all this might seem a little bit overwhelming, but it's really not. It's not. Sanctification for a man after he is born again is all that it needs to be at this time and at the time that you were born again. It's all it needs to be. God's working everything out perfectly in His time. But while we are still in this body, there's some responsibilities we have now since our soul is saved. Our soul is attached to our spirit, which has been regenerated. We have the righteousness of Christ on us. As far as God's concerned, we're just as righteous as the Lord Jesus Christ because His righteousness is on us. But we're still wearing this wicked body. And this wicked body is destined back to the earth, going back to the dust because of the sin and because it's evil. All right? So God has to fix that too, and He's got plans to do that. But we don't have any control over what God's timing is, so we have to wait. And in the meantime, while we're living in the body, we have responsibilities as far as sanctification goes. Why? Because you're living in that body, and that's the temple of the Holy Ghost now, and God's going to be sanctified. This is where God, the sanctification of the Lord, comes in. The Lord's not going to tolerate you being violating or Him indwelling you and His temple being filthy. You see how important that is and how all this comes together? You see that thing? Now, while we're still in the body, sanctification becomes a process in which a man participates himself in helping the Holy Ghost to clean him up. Just like the priest helped keep the Lord's temple that was in Jerusalem, we are responsible to help keep this temple of the Holy Ghost that dwells in you now sanctified. Sanctification is finalized for a man when he's in his new body and, like Christ, wholly sanctified, wholly, completely, utterly, completely. But that's not happened yet. Has it happened to you? It better not have, because I'm still in my body, and you're going to still be in your body until the Lord comes. So we have a part in that. Now, coming, bringing all this stuff down, let's start talking about man. And we know that if our God is as holy as He is, and He is, and if He respects sanctification and demands sanctification like He does, and He does, and He has saved us like He said He saved us, and we are sanctified and righteous like the Lord Jesus Christ because we have Christ's righteousness on us, and God sees us differently as family now and sanctified and holy, and with exception of the body, then there's some responsibility that God expects out of you concerning that body that you're wearing, that you present it holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And there's ways that is done and how it's produced. And that's what we're going to talk about today, how sanctification is produced. Now, remember, we're not talking about the sanctification of the Lord anymore now in this study. We've completed that part of the study and we realize the importance of it and the severity of it. We're going into the sanctification of man, and we've talked about the transfer and what all's saved and what's not saved and what's sanctified and what's not sanctified. So now we know that we're wearing a filthy body. So how sanctification is produced while we're wearing this filthy body? Well, first thing is, sanctification is produced by God. God dwells in you. God the Holy Ghost dwells in you, and He takes it personal about cleaning you up. And if God's not trying to clean you up, there's something wrong, because He said He was going to. And He says that He takes it personal. And we find that in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that verse we've been reading, and the very God of peace, the very God of peace, there's your identity right there. There's the person that's doing this. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. God's doing it. How is sanctification produced? Well, it's produced by God. He cleans you up. He brings sanctity into your being. He produces sanctity into your being. God don't bring any of those bad, filthy things into your life. That's the devil, the flesh, and the world. That's not the Lord. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, your spirit saved, it's sanctified. Your whole soul, your soul saved, your soul sanctified, and body, be preserved blameless. That's how God wants it. Blameless. Nobody can point a finger at you about your body. Even if it is evil. Even if it is wicked. Even if you're still wearing it. Even if you are saved. Blameless. Unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the climax. That's when the Lord comes and He changes us, and we don't have to fight that battle no more. But right now you have to fight it. Sanctification is a battle. It's a fight. It's an effort. It's something that you have to do on purpose. And it's sanctified, it's produced by God. God works it in you. God works sanctification in your body. He helps you work that thing out. He helps you clean that body up. What else? Well, sanctification is produced by Jesus Christ Himself. The Spirit of Christ dwells in you. We're talking about a triune Godhead, and all three parts of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, are sanctifying you. Have sanctified you, are sanctifying you, and will sanctify you. Sanctification is produced not only by God, but by Jesus Christ. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 through 11 says. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became Him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, listen to this, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. For which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren. We are like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ done it, followed through, sanctified Himself through suffering, and sanctified us through salvation, and the salvation that He bought and made possible for us, and that sanctified, for both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. Not only God works in us to sanctify us wholly, but Jesus Christ works in us to sanctify us wholly and make us like unto Him. For which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren, us. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. Listen to this. Acts chapter 26, verse 18 says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in Me. Amen? So, sanctification is produced by God. Sanctification is produced by Jesus Christ. We're talking about an individual, the sanctification of man, talking about born-again believers. Now, people that are not born again have nothing to do with this. They're not even in the same scenario. They have nothing to do with sanctification at all concerning the Lord, concerning God, concerning Jesus Christ, or concerning the Holy Ghost. They're not saved in any way. Their spirit is dead, their soul is damned, and it has the wrath of God abiding on it, and it's headed to hell, and their body is damned, and it is evil just like ours is, and it's going back to the dirt, and it's going to hell and going to burn. That's it. But now, whole different outlook if you're saved. Whole different thing, isn't it? The Lord worked that thing out. But the good news is that anybody listening to this that's not saved, you can be saved immediately, right now, by believing on Jesus Christ as your Savior and calling upon Him to save you. And it's that simple. And the Lord said if you'll call upon His name, that He'll save you and do the same thing for you that He's done for us and all of us that are studying together. He'll save your soul, and He'll forgive your sins, and He will quicken your spirit and make you alive again, save your soul, and He will help you sanctify your body until the Lord Jesus Christ come when He changes it, and you get a home with Him forever. That's what the Bible says. And if the Bible's true, we're all okay. And it is true. and we are all okay because of the Lord. If the Bible's not true, you pick anything you want. There's all kinds of varieties in the world. You can go to purgatory, you can go to nirvana, you can go here, you can go there. I mean, all kinds of sorts of things. But we don't believe that. We believe the book. And we know that God, our spirits bear witness with His Spirit that we are the sons of God. And if you get saved, you'll know what we're talking about. Amen? All right, getting back to our study. How is sanctification produced? Well, it's produced by God. Sanctification is produced by Jesus Christ. Not only God and Jesus Christ, but also sanctification is produced by God the Holy Ghost that dwells in you. He's always working. The Spirit of Christ, God the Holy Ghost, the person, God the Holy Ghost is dwelling in you, and He's working, and He's changing you, and He's helping you to keep that body cleaned up and sanctified for the Master's use. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. You see that thing? The foreknowledge of God through sanctification of God the Holy Ghost of the Spirit unto what? Unto obedience. You see, God the Holy Ghost is not moving you to take that temple of the Holy Ghost into a bar room or down to dance hall or teach it to dress like a hussy. Or to dress to where you would provoke somebody else's lust. Or that you would provoke your own lust in your own body. It's just the opposite. The Lord's sanctifying your body. Teaching it to be pure. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, that's the approach that God the Holy Ghost has taken towards us in our bodies and in our sanctification. Sanctification is produced by the Holy Ghost. He's working in us. What else? Well, sanctification is produced by the truth. By the truth. You're not ever going to get any part of you cleaned up and sanctified by lies and deceit. None of it. Lies and deceit never produce sanctification. Only truth does. Is it true? Is it the truth? I ain't talking about this garbage that's in the world, this two-faced, two-sided, so-called relativity, and all this hogwash that the world comes up with, and they come up with some crazy stuff, man. You stay in that book, you stay level-headed, and you stay right-minded, and you think like the Lord thinks. You don't think like these crazy nuts out there that think some of the craziest God-dishonoring stuff that's ever gone on in my lifetime, and anybody's lifetime for that fact. But the Lord said it's going to happen, and it's going to wax worse and worse. And boy, is He right. There's things going on today that I never, ever thought that a human being could stand up and say is true. You know? Sanctification is produced by the truth. Well, what is truth? What does the Bible say is truth? Well, it's very simple and very understandable and very easy to believe. John chapter 17 and verse 17 through 19. Sanctify them. There it is again. Sanctify them through thy truth. Okay, Lord, all right, I'm all for it. What is truth? Thy word is truth. whether the world likes it or not, whether the devil likes it or not, whether your flesh likes it or not, whether your employer likes it or not, whether your mom and daddy like it or not, whether your children like it or not, thy word is truth. You stay with God's word, you stay close to the truth. You stay with God's word, you get sanctified, because sanctification comes through the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You want to be sanctified? You got to be affiliated with God's word. And you are. God bless you for that. See there? Listen, let me read the rest of this. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. And then he goes on to say, let me read that again. John 17:17-20, sanctification is produced by the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for your sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You see how that thing goes? You see how the Lord set that up? Sanctification. How is sanctification produced? It's produced by God. It's produced by Jesus Christ. It's produced by God the Holy Ghost. All three persons of the Godhead are involved in your sanctification. And not only them, but their word. Sanctification is produced by the truth. John 15:3 says, now ye are clean, sanctification. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Do you have Jesus Christ's words? Of course you do. You're listening to them right now. You're reading them. You're looking at them in the book. You're looking at them. And they're cleaning you up. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? You say, well, how can that happen? I don't know. God does it. And the power of his words, Jesus' words. In the beginning, God said. God's words are powerful, folks. They're powerful. And they make difference. And they bring change. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Just by hearing it. And just by speaking it and memorizing it and having it in your being and part of your being, it conforms you into the image of Christ. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Let's go on. All right, what else? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 through 27 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? That he might sanctify, not only sanctify it, and cleanse it with the washing of water. How? By the word. That he might present it to himself. This is how God wants the church to be when he shows up. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Sounds like the Lord wants us cleaned up, doesn't it? Well, how you reckon that's going to happen if we're still living in an evil body, a wicked body, a body that wants to lust, wants to fornicate, wants to smoke, wants to drink, wants to cuss, wants to think evil thoughts, wants to imagine wicked imaginations? How you think all that's going to happen? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see how come it takes God to help us through this thing? You say, well, I ain't that bad. You bad enough that God has to indwell you to sanctify your body alone. Your soul and your spirit are already sanctified. It's only a third part of you, your body, that's causing the trouble. And God the Holy Ghost had to come and indwell you to keep that under control. until the Lord comes and changes it permanently. It takes God's power to do it, and God's Word to do it. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and God's Word to sanctify you, and keep you sanctified, and to work on sanctifying you. And guess what? You're supposed to be part of that. Your will is supposed to be like God's will. If God wants to change something in you, it's for the better, it's for sanctification, and you're supposed to agree with it. Yeah. Not stubborn and I want my way and I'm going to do it this and that. You might. And you might pay for it too. The wages of sin is still death. That body's going to pay for all the sin that you let it sin for. You keep filling them guts up with alcohol, that body's going to pay for it. And you're still living in it, so you're going to be part of it. You're supposed to sanctify that body, brother and sister. You're supposed to sanctify it. You're supposed to let God the Holy Ghost help you to do that. And God the Father and God the Son to help you to do that. They've gone to all the trouble to get us where we're at right now. You're supposed to go to the trouble to suffer with Christ and to suffer the things that you need to suffer in order that you can be sanctified and like the Lord, so that when He does come, He can present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. A lot of Christians don't take that seriously at all. And a lot of preachers do not lay it on them as a responsibility. And shame on you for that, preachers. You should be taking care of God's flock and helping them to stay clean and want to stay clean and know it's God's will to stay clean. Yes, God wants you cleaned up. And it matters to the Lord. Yes, it does. What else? Well, sanctification is produced by God. We're talking about how sanctification is produced. It's produced by Jesus Christ. It is produced by the Holy Ghost. Sanctification is produced by the truth. What else? Sanctification is produced through Christ's blood. Now we're getting into what it costs for your sanctification and how important it ought to be to you, and you not be very careful to mock the Lord's sacrifice through allowing your body to be filthy and God the Holy Ghost indwelling you. You see what we're getting at? Listen to what Hebrews chapter 9 says. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, we've been over that, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, in other words, they would bring all that stuff down there and tell God they're sorry and repent and present a sacrifice and God would forgive them. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You see, your conscience, the Lord has done everything and forgiven you, and you're forgiven, and you're on your way to heaven, and you're not supposed to be doing things in that body to violate your conscience. Your conscience is supposed to be clean between you and the Lord because Christ has paid for it. There's no reason for you to be guilty before the Lord. Unless you're letting that body have its way. And not following through with being sanctified like you're supposed to. And minding the Lord. The Lord is not going to lead you to do something filthy in that body. Or ugly or unclean. Now the devil and the flesh and the world will. But your will is a free agent. You choose what your will says. So it's not God's fault if your body is misbehaving. God's cleaned you up. And he's in the process of going to clean that body up one day. But in the meantime, God the Holy Ghost is indwelling you, and he's reminding you, and you're either listening or you ain't. Sanctification is produced through Christ's blood. Christ shed his blood for the purpose of your sanctification. And he done it once, and it's done, and your conscience should be able to be purged. You shouldn't have to feel guilty about anything. And if you do, you come immediately to the Lord and confess that thing, and it's forgiven and washed immediately. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleans us all up again, immediately. But that's talking to a saved person. An unsaved person can't even get to God except through Christ. Now here's the last one. Sanctification is produced through Christ's blood. Also, sanctification is produced by prayer. By prayer. Sanctification is, how is it produced? It's produced by God. It's produced by Jesus Christ. It's produced by the Holy Ghost. It's produced by the truth, the Word of God. It's produced by through Christ's blood. And it's produced by prayer. Listen to what 1 Timothy says in chapter 4 and verse 4 and 5. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God. Remember, the word of God is our sanctification is produced by the word of God. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And prayer. For those that come unto him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If we confess our sins, and if we did confess our sins, how would we do it? We'd do it through prayer, wouldn't we? Talking with the Lord. Prayer is just simply talking with God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, sanctification. And cleanse us, sanctification, from all unrighteousness, sanctification. Cleaning you up. He has cleaned you. He's in the process of cleaning you. And when you confess and tell God you're sorry, which you should do anyway, because you're going to sin, you're still wearing that body, your body is going to sin one way or another. But you're going to fight to keep it from doing that, of course. But when we sin, like John said, if any man say he has not sinned, he's not telling the truth and he's a liar. But when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we confess it. The Lord hears us confess it. Jesus says, I paid for that sin, Father. And the Father says, forget it. It's forgiven, and then cleanses it all away. It's washed away. I mean, that's what the Bible teaches. And I'm glad it's that way, aren't you? I'm glad I ain't got to ride a jackass around the world five times backwards. Or put fish hooks in my back and pull a big stone with fishing lines and walk through the city, bleeding to death. Or sit up on top of a rock on a pinnacle for 45 days and starve to death and not move or whatever. All this hogwash, stupid, idiotic stuff that man comes up with trying to get sanctified before God. And it ain't going to work. Never. The Lord has set it in motion of what sanctification is. How it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, who it's going to happen with, who it's going to happen through, and who's going to be involved in it. And if you want to be involved in it, do it God's way. And if you want to be sanctified, which you really don't have any choice, you're headed for a whole sanctification, but it just depends on how you want the trip to go with that body. You've got to practice sanctification. And how's it produced? It's produced by God. It's produced by Jesus Christ. It's produced by God the Holy Ghost. It's produced through the Word of God and by the truth. And it's produced by Christ's blood that continually pays for the things that we transgress in this body. The blood of Christ covers it. And when you confess it, it's done, over with, forgotten. And sanctification is produced by prayer. By prayer. We talk to God about it. Lord, I need your help. I need your help. This is really a burden, and this body is just aggravating me to death, and this flesh won't leave me alone. Lord, and I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. By prayer. The Lord knows what you're burdened by and what kind of fights and what kind of battles you're going through with that flesh, and so do I. And so do we all, don't we? All that are concerned about the matter. The Lord knows what you're going through. And He's there, and He's working, and you need to trust that. And you need to keep what you're doing, stay in God's Word, study, and fight the good fight of faith. And when you sin, confess it immediately. And be honest. Tell God what you did, how you did it, that you wanted to do it, you did it, and oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I don't want to ever do that. I don't want to be a sinner anymore. And I don't. I don't want to be a sinner anymore. And that's how you get in your heart when you get to working with the Holy Ghost and with the Word of God concerning your sanctification, you'll get that kind of attitude. I don't want to be a sinner anymore. I'm tired of this. Right? Amen. Amen. All right, well, we're going to stop right there. That was a good beginning to our study of sanctification of man, how sanctification is produced. And the Lord has provided it in every avenue, hasn't He? And that's wonderful. Next, we're going to talk about why sanctification or godliness is important. And we already know the answers to that, but we're going to go over them and we're going to see what God's Word says. Let me give you these scriptures for today. You ready? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. And then we had 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Let me make sure I'm right about this. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. And then we had John chapter 17, verse 17 through 20. I told you 19, but 17 through 20. And then we had John chapter 15, verse 3. And then we talked about Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. And then we read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 through 14, about the Lord's blood. And then we talked about the last one for today, for this portion of our study, was 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 and 5. And there they are. All right. Well, thank you so much for studying, and I admire you for disciplining yourself to be in and around God's Word. You are doing right, right, right. Even if it's not with me and with us and us studying together, get with somebody that is studying the Word of God. And get your ears and your mind and your heart up under the teaching of the Word of God. And remain there. And you'll be all right. You'll be all right. We're still going to fight the fight. And the Lord helps us make the changes and sanctifies us and helps us make the changes and helps us keep the changes. And all we got to do is pray and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, trust the Holy Ghost, trust the Word of God, and not be fooling with it or changing it or making it better. You can't make God's word better. What kind of fool would come up with something like that? That is just a stupid thing to say. If you can make God better, if God can be made better by man, are you going to trust him to keep you out of hell? Not me, man. My God is better than me and better than any human being and nothing like us. He's holy. And he has the power to back up what he says. And he does back up what he says, and I trust him. And I trust his words. Amen? And you do that too. And the Lord's blood, and of course through prayer. Talk to the Lord. Talk to him. Amen? He's not ashamed of us. And we're not ashamed of him. So communicate with him. Amen? I love you with Christ love. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.